This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
I'm going to quote from their website. It says, Rose Band takes hip-hop for a thrilling and inspiring ride to the future. Collectively, Rose Band has shared the stage with many hip-hop legends, including Tumex, Clips, Baby Bash, Cannabis, Lil Rob, Yuck Mouth, which is one of my favorite, Afro Man, and Cool Nuts. And I just heard that on May 17th, they are going to be sharing the stage with Romeo Miller, formerly
Lil Romeo.
Absolutely. Persevering through so many obstacles in order to pursue their dreams, the ladies of Rose Band all started off their music careers as hardworking solo artists. Well, they're now performing all throughout the Northwest and abroad, and you can check out their website. It's roseband.com. They have two albums available, Crimson Skies and Rose Band. Mm-hmm. And we'll listen, of course, to a few songs from both of these, and maybe we'll have a little bit of a cappella rapping. Kiyoshi, thank you for being here. We are expecting Jackie any minutes.
Yes.
Maybe you can start by sharing a little bit about like the history of Rose Band, how you ladies met, and how this all came together.
Well, Jackie and I have been pretty much really good best friends for like the last probably like 5 years. Mm-hmm. But before, we probably known each other about close to 10 years. Oh. And there was just so few females in the industry, especially in Portland. We all kind of knew who each other were. So I think one day she just asked me to do a show with her. And I would, you know, just kind of like back her up. I wasn't really into like taking my music seriously. I was in school for a long time. And so we just started doing shows together, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where did Rose Band come, like with the name came from?
Well, for one, we're from the City of Roses, so shout out to my roses out there, my roses and pistols. That's what we call them, roses and pistols.
You know? That's awesome.
But, you know, we come from the City of Roses, and then there is a condition that a rose has. It's called rose bent neck syndrome. Mm-hmm. And this occurs when a rose matures too quickly. It still blooms, it still blossoms, but it gets kind of like this bent neck, you know, but it's still beautiful and it still has thorns. So it kind of represents us, you know, having to grow up a little bit too fast, but we still bloom, we're still beautiful, and we still have thorns, so you better watch out.
This is awesome. So really deep meaning. Wow. It's like, what did you say it's called? The
Rose Bent Neck Syndrome.
Wow. Yes. I'll have to investigate. Mm-hmm. And so you say that you guys join forces with a mission to represent the silenced voices of women in hip hop. Can you expand on that?
Well, right now, it's just really sad, the state of hip hop as far as women are concerned. It's like, if you're not basically stripping naked, you're not going to get any kind of attention. And the majority of these raps that women are the ones who get attention, the women that get attention, they're taking off their clothes, and the raps are written by men, you know? And there's, I feel like it's written by men who are trying to speak as women. So just like no true female voice. And so we write all of our own lyrics, and there's just so much, you know, that women have to offer and stories to tell from just another perspective that is not, it's just, it doesn't get its fair share. Mm-hmm. And so we try to do that with our music.
I had never really realized, actually, that female artists, like their lyrics, was written by men. But now that you say that, it just makes so much sense.
And it's not all of them. Like Jean Grey, she's, oh my gosh, she's so immaculate. But she refuses to sell out. So that's why she's not on mainstream. But she has her own following. But then
I've ever heard of her.
Jean, oh my gosh, she's absolutely incredible. I mean, her stories, especially about relationships, I love them. Mm-hmm. And she's so hardcore. And we actually had the opportunity to, we didn't perform with her. We did the Raw Digga show. But we wanted to do that one, but it didn't work out. Someone else did that. But I was there, like, right in front of her. And she's just, man, just her artistry is just amazing. Her metaphors. You have to look her up.
Yeah, well.
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey, for sure. What about Portland? You said the scene is not really big in Portland for women.
Well, how many female artists have you heard of as far as...
I don't know.
Like,
you guys are the first ones on my show for sure.
Pretty much. There's like a handful, you know, like maybe Sirens Echo. They were doing it big, and they're kind of like coming back to the scene. It took a little hiatus for a while, and they're coming back. But there really isn't anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's why people were so excited when we came out 3 years ago, because you're like, oh, my God, it's a girl crew. Oh, my God. You know, mm-hmm. like, you haven't seen one of those since TLC. So we're not 3LW, so... you know, but, I mean, hip-hop in general just really... Even though we used to have a bigger scene back in the day, it's just not really welcomed here because of, you know, some people just don't know how to act. And I'm not talking about necessarily the musicians, but some people who show up at the venues and they mm-hmm. ruin it for everyone else. And so I feel like the police have kind of shut it down. And so
it's hard to actually find places to even perform. So
absolutely.
Even if you are out there rapping and being an artist, it's hard to get mm-hmm. to get a place. Wow.
But yeah, but people are intrigued, though. Like, I think if someone wants to get another good venue and have Rosebent on the bill and maybe a couple other ladies, that would be... Mm-hmm. People are always intrigued by women, though, because they don't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always some guys around, but they don't get to see ladies perform, so it's always exciting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why do you think... Well, what's the rest of the hip-hop scene here in Portland? Like, you say very few female, but is the scene actually, you know, bigger even when it comes to men?
It was, but like I said, it's dying.
It's
I mean,
dying.
Pretty much the, you know, police have shut that down. So, basically threatening liquor licenses if they allow hip hop. So mm-hmm. there's just, you know, people are having to move to the outskirts like Eugene and Salem and, you know, I'm not driving to Salem. You know what I mean?
And so you say that this is based on like just fear of like what might happen at a venue? Wow.
Yeah, what does, but it's like if there's... It's just really hard not to get racial with it, but, you know, it's like if white boys go crazy and they act stupid and they have bar fights, it's just a bar fight. The bar doesn't get mm-hmm. shut down. But if it's black people or people of color who are fighting, then it's gang related. Automatically, that's the mm-hmm. first thing you hear is gang related, and they want to shut it down, you know. I remember there was there's a place called Seasons where I know him personally. He's a comedian, but he started his own restaurant. He served chicken and waffles, girl.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have that, and it mm-hmm. was so good. And somebody ended up getting shot across the street.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with his establishment. They shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
They told him it's either you close early, like most of his customers come in late because, you know, it's that after club food, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And they shut him down, you know? And it's just...
Where was his place?
I believe it was off of MLK, kind of by Lombard in that mm-hmm. area.
Yeah, I think that this is also kind of related to that, you know, phenomenon of gentrification as well.
Yeah.
You say that more and more shows have to happen like in Gresham or other places around Portland.
Yeah, I mean, Salem and yeah. Eugene, like not even Portland, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? It's just hard. They're occurring in little bars or something like that. I just feel like it's just been murdered.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to hip hop? Like, what has been your relationship with hip hop?
Well,
a love story.
I came out the womb and I just was rapping. No, no, actually, I was inspired. First of all, I grew up in the church, so my grandmother did not actually, I did not hear a rap song until I think I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I could buy my first tape. But my first exposure was, I probably was, like, 5 or 6, was the N.W.A. song, F the Police. That was the first rap song I heard. And my brothers, Marquise Gibson and Adrian Wright, they actually had a group called the Regulators. And that was before Warren G and them. And they were, like, when Po-Hop was, like, big back in the day, they were, like, some of the pioneers of it. And so when my brother passed away, I just didn't want to let his dream die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was really talented, but his music was really dark and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, get ready for H-E double hockey sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And devil stuff. But I wasn't really into that. But I didn't want to let his dream die, and I was already writing poetry, and I love to sing, so I just kind of developed it,
mm-hmm.
hanging out with the homies and freestyling, mm-hmm. and chicken 40s. And I loved it. It was fun.
Absolutely. And so 3 years ago is when you started really taking that seriously?
Pretty much so. I was working on my master's degree, and I was burnt out. I had no hobbies. It was just go to school, go to work, go home. So I asked Jackie, you know, she was kind of like, you know, she was kind of burnt out as well, because we were both solo artists before then. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of work. And so I was just like, hey, man, why don't we just start a group, you know, for fun? And we didn't think it was going to turn into what it did, you know. Like, people were really excited, like, oh, my God, they're uniting and they're girls. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So people were really supportive of us.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to Jackie coming here. I can't wait to hear about her side of the story. Mm-hmm. I was thinking we'll take a musical break, and we'll listen to one of your tracks. And I think, Leon, you have one set up, Whatever You Got. Let's roll it. We're going to listen to a bunch of the songs from Rose Band tonight. You're listening to Bread and Roses. We'll be back in just a minute. What up?
To the Lord said I do not want to regret him. See, I've been in relationships where I have been threatened. Verbally abuses my emotions as a weapon. That's why I stayed up on my guard. I did, he catch me by surprise the way he wrapped me in his arms, staring to my eyes, and then my heart starts beating faster like I'm racing. And he said I'm like that kind of high. He was always chasing, and he said he wanna settle down, maybe start a family. But inside I'm thinking to myself, this is just too good to be. So I had to cut it short. Maybe I gave up on my destiny, but I took too many chances, and my heart is all that's left in me. Damn. But this is real love, and I requested it from heaven. Now I wanna give it up, but his love is like a web. I keep meaning that I'm stuck, so I'll cherish him forever until my time is up. Fast forward, I see us looking in each other's eyes on the beach. Me in all white, dimples in my cheeks, yeah. Holding my hand as I'm saying, yes I do. Can't help but follow my heart, your love is the truth. I don't see no other, my sights are on you. You take me higher, I'm flying eagle's view. As we're soaring above, all I feel is your touch. Know you're gonna catch me, I'm falling deep in your love. I'm calling, calling out for your heart. You help me see things clearer, my light in the dark. Usually I don't get too close, I keep my guard up. But with you it's different, wanna give you all my love. Let me be your angel and stay by your side. Kiss me, stay forever under the moonlight. I know you ain't the one to blame, but my first man was the worst man, and I felt the worst pain. Though I was what came from his veins, he made my existence. Did mom then dipped it, wrote out almost like I ain't his child. And I'm supposed to show mercy on you, give you power to make me blue and boo-hoo with tissue. I'm emotionally intelligent, so you gon' have to work for this. Show me if I'm worth it, you gotta court this. You say you want me, well, state your purpose. Most of y'all just wanna twerk this, but I don't do no worthless, meaningless bumping or looking up too soon. So every other week, there's a dumping, and I'm looking like a fool, returning to the trash to pick up my scraps. Cause if I pull you out the dog pal, I won't let you back.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and I'm sitting here with Kiyoshi from Rose Band, Portland, local, all-female hip-hop crew. And Kiyoshi, can you tell us about the song Hollow and how what it talks about and what it, how it all came together?
Hollow, it was really cool. So we just did this mixtape. I think that was a Snoop Dogg track that we used. And we met this guy named Ariano from the Bay Area, but we met him in Seattle doing a show out there. And so we got his contact information, and we kept in touch, and I was like, you know, let's do something. And he was like, all right. And so I sent him the beat with, you know, I was like, this is the hook that I want you to sing. And so he sent it back to me done. It was like, nah, how about this? And so we kind of took it, and we listened to it, and I liked it. So I kind of did some a little bit of vocals behind him, kind of backed him up a little bit, and just wrote it out from there. I mean, I love this song because it's when I write, unfortunately, I'm real with it. The majority of the time, I really put myself out there when I probably shouldn't, but I literally wear my heart on my sleeve. You see my tattoo?
Wow.
I got a heart. It was a heart with a dagger, but I put love in it and erased the dagger. But it's just kind of about, you know, falling in love and then getting hurt, and then perhaps you're faced with real love now, but you're afraid. You're afraid because you've been hurt once, and you're afraid to love again. And so because you're afraid, you won't take that chance and just be open and let yourself go, and you could just actually miss out on, you know, the best thing that ever happened to you.
Mm-hmm. So. And thank you for that message. I feel that, you know, I very often listen to music for messages that actually like kind of like have moral or lessons or give me hope, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel that that's the beauty we were speaking earlier about, you know, how there's very few women hip hop artists out there. Some of them get their lyrics written by guys, yeah. You know, so they cannot get that kind of message across, mm-hmm. you know, from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's a beautiful story. So there is one thing that I wonder is what you do during the day.
Well, I actually I got tired of working for other people. And so I ended up getting my master's degree. And I said, well, you know, I got this thing. Let me use it.
What's your master's in?
My master's is in business administration with an emphasis on financial accounting. And my undergrad is in criminal justice. So I've been working with you since I was 17 years old, when I was a dropout. Mm-hmm. I actually dropped out and went to go work with youth who were only 3 years younger than me, which was funny. I wasn't going to school, but I was helping other people go to school. But I finished, so it doesn't matter what you go through, you can achieve anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a business entertainment mentoring program called the Biz Program. And what we do is we have different sectors. I call them sectors. It's kind of like a business.
Mm-hmm.
We have business marketing, fashion design, graphic design, songwriting and recording, and journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of a 12-week session, they create an online magazine. Everything is done by the students. They take the pictures, do the modeling, all that. The fashion does the styling. They also create an event, so they have to get sponsorships for the food and everything. Like, we don't pay for that. They had to get it. They got to find a way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to learn elevator pitches and budgeting and things of that nature. And then they have a fashion show. They also design our fashion people. They get to design their own piece. So they actually learn how to design clothes and then send it out to get made.
Mm-hmm.
And my music kids, they write and record a song and also do a music video, which we display at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we just finished our music video at David Douglas with our first group of high school students.
Yeah.
And it turned out amazing.
Can you tell us about it? What's the song about and the video?
Oh, it's about love. I mean, it's just really about love and just that young teenage love. And it's just so innocent and pure. I love it. They can actually watch all of our videos on our website at www.upandovertour.com. And they can see all of our music videos, all the kids, the magazines and that they've made, and read the stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
And so how do you find these young people? Who do you partner with? How does that work out? Do you work with Portland Public Schools or?
Well, originally we started off with Vancouver schools.
Mm.
They let us in first through the Gear Up program. We did a summer program for them and it worked out. So they brought us back during the school year. And that was fun. And we worked with eighth graders over there. And then we also we kind of, I call it knock. I don't know if you've ever known anyone who sold Kirby vacuum cleaners before, but no. They have something called knock your way in, where they just drop you off in a neighborhood and you got to knock your way in to, you know. So we kind of knocked our way into David Douglas, where we pretty much did it for free. Okay. Just, you know, so the kids would have opportunities, see how it went. The kids loved it. I have relationships with them. I want to have lunch still. And we just ended that session. They did the video. It was, man.
I hear that Jackie's here. This is awesome. She's going to come in just a minute. Let's speak a little bit slightly more about this, you know, mentoring program. Mm-hmm. What do you feel that this is like? So you said fashion, mm-hmm. journalism, mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. Hello, Jackie.
Hey.
Why did you pick these specific what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, I was an artist, but before then I was kind of like going down the wrong road. You know, I had excellent customer service skills, but the things that I was selling was illegal. So I wanted these kids, especially kids who are, you know, live in poverty or are struggling and kind of wondering where they're going to get that next dollar. They're interested in helping their parents. Just an alternative method of making money, you know, and I want my kids to think about being an entrepreneur before they think about being an employee, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of, that was my whole goal is, you know, you can use the skills that you learn today, not tomorrow. And hopefully they can understand by using these tools and, you know, designing some fashion for someone and selling a piece on eBay on your own, that you can make money without having to go down the wrong path.
So I want to applaud this, and I want to say, well, you'll have to come back and speak about this whole thing again. Like, I'm loving it. Jackie, thank you for joining us. How are you tonight?
Good. I apologize for being late.
Oh, please don't apologize. Well, Kiyoshi shared a lot about, like, her passion for hip-hop and how she got to, you know, start rapping and you know, what you guys are doing today. I was wondering if you would share a little bit about where you come from with hip hop.
Right. For me, thanks for asking. And for me, it really started just as kind of an outlet. So I think around like 13 or 14, I was really going through it. And for me, poetry was kind of like an outlet. So I would just write to get my head right, really. I'm going through hard things, you know. And I met a producer around, I think I was like 16, 17. And I was always just the girl in the corner, kind of, you know, writing poetry. So, and he produced and he had a rap group. And they ended up asking me, you know, if I wanted to collab on some things. Or, hey, why don't you jump on a track? You know, you write all the time. And ever since then, I pretty much couldn't stop. So I kind of got addicted to it, I guess, after I started. And for me, coming up, I think hip-hop music was just something that I could relate to. And, you know, kind of a way for brown and black people to express themselves and kind of fight against the dominant voice, you know, the mass media. And, you know, we came up with the era of hip hop that was saying something like, you know, with a social message, really. And for me, that's where the passion's at, is really trying to make positive changes through music and, you know, expressing yourself as a woman and just having your voice heard in a different artistic way that other people can appreciate and enjoy as well if they choose to. And my father played trumpet, you know, he was a big influence. I always looked up to him and had a thing for jazz music and soul and R&B, and hip hop came along with that. So that's kind
of
how I started.
Hip hop is a perfect mixture of all of that.
Right. Absolutely. Exactly. And that's kind of where I came from. So I started rapping with this group when I was around 17, I would say, with called Trash Heap. And we had this little clique called Unsaid Records. And I was doing things solo. And then I met Kiyoshi on the scene. And she was doing her thing solo as Lady Trinity. And I was like, wow, she killed it, you know. And we kind of started to work together just on and off here and there. And, you know, she had this idea of bringing the group together after, honestly, I had kind of thrown my hands up and been like, you know what, screw this music business. I can't do this.
Why did you feel this way?
Because it's so sexist and it just gets old, you know, it's tiring. It's hard to do on your own. I'm a single parent. I was in college full time and working as well, like while I was trying to do this music. And like I said, for me, it was mostly just an artistic outlet. Mm-hmm. I'm a people person. I like to talk with people. I'm social. So, you know, Portland's pretty small. So after you've been around to a couple hip hop shows, if you talk, you know, everybody, you know, so I honestly at first didn't really consider it like a profession. It was more of just an outlet. And as I got older, you know, I started realizing, wow, people really like this. And there's not a lot of women doing this. And people have been really supportive. And, you know, I've got to travel and do all types of fun things with my music. And I hope it just continues to grow, you know. Mm-hmm. And when Kiyoshi had the idea of bringing the group together, I had honestly just kind of walked away. Like I said, I started teaching. So I think I was probably in like year two or three of teaching after I graduated from college. And it's very time consuming. Both careers are very time consuming. And being a single parent in the truest form, as in like no type of support, is very time consuming. So it was kind of, and it still is, a balancing act, you know, and it's a delicate balancing act. And she convinced me to come back, and I'm glad she did, because a piece of me really missed it, you know.
Where are some of the places that you guys have performed at outside of Portland?
We've got to travel like throughout Washington and Montana. So Seattle, quite a few different places. Zulu Nation's been really good to us out there, brought us out there for a few fun events. And I think Missoula was where we rocked.
Missoula, I know.
Right.
Awesome. There's a weed dispensary on every corner. It's crazy. It's like a bison and a weed weed dispensary.
Casino.
Yeah. I've never been there.
They make some great jam, homemade jam. Thank you.
And I think on my own, you know, I got to do a little more traveling. It's harder to travel with a group. Especially when we're playing with the band, you're talking like you can't get five people somewhere for very affordable, you know, so it's
and
a different process.
You both
process.
Have day jobs as well, you know, you can't really just leave everything.
Right, know. Right. And, you know, some of the places I got to travel before, like Chicago, Memphis, different areas of California, L.A., Frisco, Oakland, Vegas. You know, I hope that we can go there as a group as well. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, like you said, time and planning and time planning.
And so Kiyoshi shared about her mentoring program. Would you share a little bit about your day job and what you like and what drives you to be a teacher?
Yes. So I teach out at Roosevelt, and I've been there for 4 years now. And I teach freshman English right now. I'm certified to do like 6 through 12, any type of writing, language arts class, and ELL as well. Right now I'm just teaching freshman English and future educators, which is like a class, an elective that's geared towards students who are considering a career in education or, you know, have a passion for working with kids younger than them. So I have them matched up with like a fourth grade class over at James John, and they kind of have buddies and, you know, go mentor. For me, it was kind of in the first year or so, honestly, kind of like a fallback. Like, I, you know, wasn't planning on having my son when I did at 16, and it really changed kind of my life plans. You know, I had this big dream. I'm leaving Portland. Peace. I'm going to New York or LA if I can't make it to New York, you know, on whatever scholarship I can get, I'm out of here. And I danced. So that was really my main form of expression back then. And then after I had my son, it was just kind of scary. Like, I don't want to try to go to New York, and even Juilliard calling my name doesn't weigh out with trying to provide for a child without any type of support. So it was a fallback, and it was kind of like, okay, well, I really love writing. And, you know, when I was in high school and pregnant, I realized, you know, people treated me differently, like as far as my teachers, and I really felt outcast for the first time. You know, there's one thing to be said about being Latina and growing up like in Southeast Portland or Milwaukee, you know, where you're outcast to a certain extent, but at least you still have other people that look like you, that speak your language, that you can relate to. And being a teen mother really just made me feel like, for the first time, all of the adult figures in my life were just not fair and like kind of judged me. And so I thought about teaching because I felt like, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that could use someone that can relate to them. And I'd really kind of been through it at that point, you know, drugs, stealing cars, whatever. I was a wild teenager, you know, I kind of got it all out of the way real early.
And so you can focus. And
now I've got my life together.
That's the rose that matured too quickly.
Exactly. Right? I know she told that story about the rose bent neck syndrome. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I feel so, it's so empowering that, you know, you speak about writing poetry. And I feel that for some people, it's like writing poetry and then going into teaching English is the perfect path. But then for other, it's kind of like, oh, hip hop in English is like two different things, but in fact it's the same, right? Writing lyrics
and it is,
and you know, poetry or novels, whatever it is that you write, is
it is. And I think that's really the beauty and the power of language, and if you can instill that in your students and help them see that, you know, to a certain extent, especially if we're talking marginalized populations, which are the populations that I choose to work with and I would prefer to work with, you can really empower them by helping them understand, like, your voice has been silenced in some ways, but especially with all the media outlets that we have now, with the internet, you know, you can be a part of the dialogue. You can intersect yourself within this dialogue that, you know, you've been silenced from. And that's the beautiful thing, whether it's poetry or, you know, it's an editorial that you're writing to a paper, or it's in your resume and whatever type of career path you're on, you know. And that's really the beauty of language. And I think really forward thinking educators understand that. And there's a movement right now, really, where you're trying to engage students, you know, with things that they actually find interesting. You got standards you have to teach, but you can do that with whatever type of material you want. As long as you're teaching them, you know, make a claim, back it up with evidence. It could be evidence from Nas's I Give You Power. You know, where it's an extended metaphor. He's describing a gun. Why would he do that? Give me three pieces of evidence. So, and it's a way to engage and a way for them to just understand they have a voice and their voice is relevant.
Yeah, and that the school system also is somewhat fit for them as well. Like, sometimes it doesn't feel like it fits, you know, all the kids out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, integrate some edumacations into my program. You know, showing them that, you know, you can write a thesis out of a song. You can, you know, your hook is your thesis, your verses are your premise, and your bridge can be your conclusion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was telling Kiyoshi that I'm originally from France. And so when I first came to the U.S., like, hip-hop was really my thing, and Tupac in particular. And so I went to college, and I actually took, you know, classes on, you know, like, just Tupac poetry, you know?
Really?
And
that's
when,
beautiful.
Yeah, and when I was telling my you know, my people in France, they were like, you know, like, I mean, my parents hated hip hop. Like, there's just no way, you know, that they could ever. And they were like, they're just, you know, talking like nothing interesting. Like, why would you have a class, you know? And I was like, yeah, because you're not listening, you know? Like, yeah, it was like one of the best classes that I've taken in the history of hip hop. Also, there was a class that was at Indiana University. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
That's cool.
Tupac's definitely like top five ever.
Top one?
Yeah, he is. He is. I mean, you can't really argue that. But my personal top five, yes, he's definitely in there.
He's definitely in there. Let's take another musical break. I feel we deserve it. We're going to play another track from Rose Band, Absolutely. Let's see what we got. This is Bread and Roses. We'll be back in just a minute.
DJ Sneakers. I don't want to make a deal of it. But I gotta make a point of it. You don't hear a word I say when I've been screaming it. Come a little closer, get in a little tighter, and give a girl your attention. The situation, complication, aggravation, revelation got me going crazy.
Gotta make a sharp point like a pencil. Walking a thin line, tracing around my heart like a stencil. But I'm all original, loving incredible. They don't really understand the things that we've been through. You play my heart like a bass guitar. Got me feeling low, but I paint on a smile. Tell me, is this art, love, or war? And are you really different than the ones before? Is it really that much to return my call? How come you can't hit me till I slam the door? I don't wanna scream, so hurry up, pull me close. Baby, you're my fix, pick me up when I feel low.
I don't wanna make a deal of it, but I gotta make a point of it. You don't hear a word I say when I've been screaming it. Come a little closer, get in a little tighter, and give a girl your attention. The situation, complication, aggravation, revelation got me going crazy.
See, you focus on the negative, you really never live. You're a positive, wrapped in a sedative. Got my heart beat like a new addition. We could do it like the muse and a musician. And I don't know what your demands, all your plans are. Play chance, now you know it's not a game, girl. Taking mad ill pitches with your handheld. I heard some pull you away like a hangnail. Will we make it last forever? Only time tells. You're a crazy cool feature in my life spell. From the couch to the kitchen, make the house smell. Or relax with a movie while I rub your booty. We can have some fun and we don't have to get involved. Baby, we could tear it up like a cannonball. Go ahead and hang your worries on the nightstand. Baby, I could be the blow out the candle man.
I don't wanna make a deal of it, but I gotta make a point of it. You don't hear a word I say when I've been screaming it. Come a little closer, get in a little tighter, and give a girl your attention. The situation, complication, aggravation, revelation got me going crazy. Coming home from work and I know that you've been putting in overtime. I try to compensate but you threw me out like there's nobody on the line. You might think I'm crazy but I don't think I am. 'Cause I don't see nothing wrong wanting some attention from my man. I pulled out the lingerie, put dinner on the table, make sure the house is straight, to ensure that you are able for some one-on-one, 'cause I think I deserve. And if you don't listen to me, baby, you got some nerve.
Damn, Roseman, I didn't know you had vocals like that. This guy, Infinite Rex, y'all killing him right now, man. Sneakers, let's get into that next one. Hey.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Del Crescenzo. This was Point of It, and I'm sitting here with the ladies of Rose Band, Jackie and Kiyoshi, and we've been speaking a lot about their passion for hip-hop, what they do, and also their passion for education. And you guys actually partnered with PCC at one point, and you made that video. I was wondering, she's wearing a PCC shirt.
Shout out to PCC.
No. Can you speak about how this came about, how you ladies did that, what the song is about, and all this?
Well, I actually was nominated and won one of Portland Community College Diamond Alumni. Mm. So they choose 50 people for their outstanding community service or whatever, you know. I'm up there with the first woman mechanic in the history of the United States. Like, awesome. I'm just like, wow. So they give us like these plaques at the Oregon History Museum. So I just built, you know, networks. I've just been volunteering and they've been seeing that. And so I gave this speech at the square and just kind of killed them. So that I was kind of like their little child after that. You know? Their poster child.
Yeah.
Yes. So
what was your speech about? Was that your thank you?
No, it was, this is what's crazy. Crazy is that, so I'm up there, and at the time this was right before I left working for someone else, and I was getting ready to start my mentoring program, so I'm not even working right now. And I'm up there with a woman who became a doctor, and I'm up there with a car salesman who, like, fought his way from Vietnam and, like, came over and, like, came from nothing and started two dealerships. And they had these speeches prepared, and I just had, like, 5 points on my hand. If you watch the video, you can actually look at me looking at my hand, and it just... I just talked about my life and, like, where I came from and what it was like to just, like, struggle and, like, live in a house with, like, no heat and, you know, abuse. And my mother was in domestic violence and just dropping out of school. And I went to Roosevelt, so I understand, you know, her students and what they go through. And mm-hmm. just I dropped out of school 3 times, and, you know, but yet I was able to get a master's degree. So it was just kind of my testimony to prove that it doesn't matter where you come from or what you go through, you can do anything that you want. And it's just an ovation. It was an ovation.
She's a really inspiring speaker. So. She's brought me to tears so many times. She's like a crazy motivational speaker.
She almost dead right now.
Seriously.
No, it was awesome. So after that, they just, you know, kept in touch with me. And they're like, oh my gosh, we need a theme song. And I was like, really? Can we do it? And it was like between us and like some other bands or whatever. And we got it. So I had to integrate. Just, it was kind of basically summing up the history of PCC in 3 verses mm-hmm. and a hook.
And that was for their 50th anniversary.
It was.
Do you feel like spitting a rhyme from that PCC song? Is it fresh in your mind?
I don't know if it is.
Put it on the spot. Maybe she'll spit something else.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, I think we haven't done that since we, you know, we shot the video. We've done a couple little events with mm-hmm. them.
I watched the video. I just shot the video yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, look at this.
I really do endorse PCC, though. I think it's a great place to transition and to kind of figure out, you know, where do I want to go with my career yeah. and get the first 2 years out of the way and make some decisions about what really interests you without, you know, paying an arm and a leg like at mm-hmm. these 4-year universities. And I went there as well as part of Portland Teachers Program, which is a Portland. I love and endorse this program. Mm-hmm. If you know someone applying to Portland Teachers Program, encourage them. Be supportive of them. Yeah. We need more teachers
of
color.
We really do. Like, we really do. I can't even say anything else about that.
So who inspire you in your life?
Jesus! No.
With music? Yeah, he can inspire you, no problem. Music in the music world or, you know, politicians, figures, people in your life?
For me, on the musical level, I would say strong women that I consider strong, Lauryn Hill, Mary J. Blige, Erykah Badu, mm-hmm. And then the lyricists, mostly East Coast lyricists from like late 90s, early 2000s, Nas, Rakim. That's really where I drew my inspiration.
Yeah, we probably have the same music collection.
Nice. And my father, too. Mm-hmm. Just... you know, he's musical, and it was always really inspiring to me as a child to be able to see him, like, playing mm-hmm. the trumpet, even if it was just in church or around the house on, like, happy birthday, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Kiyoshi?
Well, I told you about my brother, so that's kind of, you know, started. And I love Tupac. I mean,
Pop,
when Tupac
yeah.
died... I didn't believe it. I didn't cry. Because you didn't study the theory. That's why you cried. If you had studied the theory, the 7-day theory, you would have knew he faked his death like Machiavelli and he was coming back.
You know what? What I'm saying is yeah. that, you know, because of his revolutionary ideas, I know he would be president today. That's my yeah. theory.
Yeah.
There's no way he's like dead, just living the life out
no.
there.
No. I didn't cry till 7 years later.
Okay, 7 years later you cried. Okay.
I did.
When he didn't come back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's some real stuff. But, yeah, pretty much him and just anybody who's better than me. Like, anytime I hear, I don't have, like, you know, anytime I hear somebody who's better than me.
That's real.
Then that's my inspiration. Because it's like, especially these guys. Like, I've heard some of these guys, how they, you know, because men's brains are wired differently.
That's true.
So when they say, you know, they flip their stuff, you know, I'm just like, dude, I probably wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
I can think of that. But I probably would have never thought of that, you know? Kind of like, you know, anything that's just like, I'm going to study this person, you know? Like,
that's awesome. This is how you grow. This yeah. is like, this is beauty. This is, you know, being able to be humble and say, well, this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed. I'm actually going to my friend's house tomorrow. Shout out to Proper. He's listening right now. We're going to actually have a writing session because he's really good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to write with you because you're really good. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get stuck in my own world, my mm-hmm. ego saying, oh, no, you're really, you know, you're great, you know, like, and then you find out you're old. You don't want to find that out.
Yeah, so. I truly believe that. Surround yourself with greatness. You know, yeah. you got to mm-hmm. surround yourself with people that help bring you up and you help bring each other up. Mm-hmm. You know, I also have a true appreciation, I think, for the female MCs of the late 90s. You know, we used to have so many to look up to with the, you know, MC Lyte, Salt-N-Pepa, mm-hmm. TLC, Queen Latifah, Foxy. Lil' Kim, like, so many. Yeah. Mystic, you know, and now it's just like, man, where are they? Where are they?
I thought you were going to say Jean, girl.
Mm-hmm. Jean Grey is, like, my current inspiration.
And she spoke about her. So it kind of leads me to that question, because I also wonder about, you know, where are the female anymore? And I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about, like, you know, hip-hop right now and the message that is being... you know, given to young women, you know, because of sexism and things that we spoke about a little bit.
I'm going to let my best friend, feminist.
Yes, this is a feminist show. Oh, this man. Is Bread and Roses.
This
welcome.
Is. And if you are not a feminist, what is wrong with you? I am so serious.
All you men out there, you better be a feminist.
Men and women. I mean, there's just this association with the word, and I feel like people don't understand feminism. All it's about really is equal rights across the board for men and women. It's not that hard of a concept to wrap your brain around.
Well said.
So the way I think about it now is, given kind of some of the research that I've done, and my master's that I'm working on is actually in cultural studies, mm-hmm. with a focus in race and gender and sex in media. Mm-hmm. So I love this stuff. I feel like it's been a systematic silencing, and it really comes down to the political economy of these record labels and radio and other media outlets. You know, they're all basically in bed with each other when we look at the political economies, like who's profiting off of what. All of these companies, you know, you got the big five in media, but then
Illuminati.
I don't know about the Illuminati, but on the real, like, all of these women from the late 90s were just kind of went away.
Yeah.
And along with that, you also have a correlation with the rise of porn on the internet, and nothing wrong with porn to people that watch it. You know, I'm not bagging it. It's just, this is going to sound crazy, but once you see the research, you would understand. I really feel like because there's companies like Viacom and Yahoo who make a large profit off of pornography, they may choose to endorse artists that they feel basically comfort the mainstream consumer with some of the visual images
of porn stars.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's why even when you watch music videos, I mean, if you're familiar with a lot of the shots in pornography, they're very similar. The champagne bottles, spraying mm-hmm. women down, all of it is very similar. And even some of the directors are the same.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So when you look at the political economy, really, and try to understand, like, how is Viacom profiting off of dumbing down women's music and saying pretty much, shut up, you're just something to look at. We just objectify you. I mean, mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj is a genius as far as, like, her lyrical skills. She's wrote for a bunch of people mm-hmm. in the game.
Including Rick Ross.
Mm. Shh. Right, but in order for her to make money, she has to insert herself in the dialogue in a certain way that the record label is going to be okay with.
And as a man.
Objectifying her, yeah. You know? And so women have become more of an ornament in hip-hop rather than a voice. Which I think is really sad.
Which is everywhere in society.
It is. And it's sad that it's reflected now in hip-hop, because hip-hop used to be the voice of the oppressed. It used to be that voice for social justice and mm-hmm. social equality. And now, you know, it's been so commodified. You can search, and on the internet, of course you could find great hip-hop. Mm-hmm. But what we're hearing on the radio is that commodified BS, and women are part of that commodity. So in the equation, you know, you got money, you got jewels, you got a ride, you got power as a man, as a male rapper.
And you can buy a woman as long as you throw out some money.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is going to sound like feminism at its finest, but I think a lot of it is racial as well. When
Absolutely.
You look at African-American males inserting themselves in this white patriarchal system and trying to gain dominance or gain power through the images that you see on TV, all they're doing is mimicking everything that white men have done. I mean, and just looking at the music videos, when you really start to break down all the visual images, it's really interesting. And when you really see the profits that these companies make.
Mm-hmm. Even just some of the jewelry that they wear, You know, I'm not going to go into specifics because I don't remember specific names. But it's like even 2 Chainz. Unfortunately, I like 2 Chainz. I wish I didn't, but I do. The garb that he wears is ancient. You know, it's from Egypt. But if you don't know your history and you didn't, you know, pay attention to that, you wouldn't know that. So it's always good to have a hint of something old in mm-hmm. here. Even if people don't realize it, if it won once, it'll win again.
Mm-hmm. So honestly, I think we need real women to come back into the limelight and to even beyond music, beyond hip hop. It's like you don't ever see a real woman on TV anymore. I mean, even in like the 80s, early 90s, you know, you would see some women who weren't necessarily like rail thin, size double D breasts.
Lil Wayne just did it,
big
though.
Old booty. Thank God, right?
He did. It's sad, but he did. I don't watch videos and I don't watch TV, but I happened to. It was in which college car?
Yeah, I know what song you're talking about. But listen to the lyrics of the song. It's I mean, gross. The whole thing's a contradiction. The whole thing's a contradiction.
At least he's trying.
Right.
Well, I guess you kind of have to, you know. So that also brings me to what would be your message then to, you know, young girls out there, whether they are interested in, you know, doing some hip hop and rapping or just in general?
Be yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, be yourself and encourage other women, girls, to be themselves. I actually kind of mentor 2 girls right now. They're amazing. This amazing
young people are amazing.
Hip-hop duo. These 2 girls from Roosevelt, and, you know, they're 14 and 15, and they have skills. Oh, my goodness. But really, both of them are very strong individuals, and they're sickened by what they see mm-hmm. and by the fact that, you know, well, to me, my music is sacred, and I don't want to have my booty and my breasts exposed just so people hear me. I mean, what's take off your clothes so you can be heard?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really
that
make
doesn't
sense.
Sound like anybody's going to listen to you at that point.
Yeah, get on the pole, girl. So, you know, my message is really just be yourself mm-hmm. and study the business, study mm-hmm. your art, and try to find ways, other ways maybe, to get into the mm-hmm. limelight, you know, and then the music becomes, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's complicated, but be yourself.
Kiyoshi?
I would just say love yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself above anything. You can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. When we stop listening to them telling us what we can and can't do with our bodies, with our lives, and that's when we take over. You got to remember, men don't have babies. We do. And the minute that people start realizing that, they will respect. Mm-hmm. So respect yourself first. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention again your guys' gig in a couple of weeks, your website, Facebook, all of that.
Yes, you can find us on Facebook at Rosebent. Just Google Rosebent.
Rosebent.
And rosebent.com.
Yes, it will pop up. We're going to be, we're opening for Lil Romeo. Well, Romeo Miller, a.k.a. Lil Romeo.
Used to be.
He's still Lil.
Also known as, formerly known as. Friday, May 17th, 2013 at 8 p.m. And this is going to be at the Churchill Auditorium in Eugene. Once again, Friday, May 17th at the Churchill Auditorium in Eugene. It's only $20. Mm-hmm. And people are always talking about, when are you guys going to have a show? All ages. I want to bring my kids. I want to see you.
It is all ages.
It is all ages. It is only $20. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That should be good. And just iTunes, you know, for the downloads, you could grab Rosebent off of iTunes.
Yes.
Or you can get the free download as well off the website if you just go to rosebent.com.
And send us a message. We always respond to all our fans.
Yeah, you did. You responded to me.
R-
yeah, go ahead. Spell Rosebent.
So
thank
that's
you,
rosebent.com. Rosebent. Rosebent.com.
And I have to say again that I just love the story of the name. The Rosebent neck syndrome. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Thank you.
And to the city of roses, for sure. Well, we're going to have to wrap up. It's been amazing. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And both of you are going to have to come back talking about mentorship. Man, amazing. Yeah. Thank you for what you do also in your other lives.
No problem. And we're all about supporting the town. I know Cool Nuts has a little party going on tonight at Refuge. Y'all should come check it out if you want to support local hip hop.
Well, you've been listening to Bread and Roses. I am Delphine Crescenzo. I want to say thank you to Leanne for being our engineer. Bread and Roses is a feminist show bringing you the best of women from here, Portland, local area. We really try to showcase every woman we have out there because we need to hear their voices. You can check us out on the web. That's kboo.fm/breadandroses and on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. I want to let you know that next Friday, Leanne and myself are bringing you the women who are the origin of Bread and Roses, who in the 70s started the show.
Wow.
First feminist show in the country here on KBOO Portland.
Wow.
Just to let you guys know, we're going to leave you, of course, with a song by Rose Band and the very last song from the iTunes. What is it called?
A New Tomorrow. It's our number one download.
A New Tomorrow. Beautiful. Thank you, Kiyoshi. Thank you, Jackie. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks.
Baby, hold my hand. Don't cry. Everything's gonna be alright. Wash away your tears. Dry your eyes.
In the hall, what's that? Daddy put his hands back on mama's slap, slap. Those were the times when I wish I had a gap. Put the gap to the temple with a pillow, pap, pap. But that's not the life for me. If I learned anything, it was how to succeed. Ain't nobody finna take away from what I believe, because they are afraid that will never be me. When daddy left, he didn't stay. I'm leaving, left up to him, man. I wouldn't be breathing, yet I'm steady achieving. Planting the seeds in, the minds of the future. Changing the seasons, what's the reason? Our hearts are bleeding, concern for the youth and how we leave them. You better think about it before you speak about it. Use your action, not your words, how we be about it.
Things gon' be alright. We gon' be just fine. Look into the sky.
You were just listening to Bread and Roses. Coming up next is Heart Knock Radio. Keep it locked.
On the Wall.
An exploration of the effects of nuclear technology on the Pacific Northwest and the world.
Particles on the Wall.
An exhibit of art, literary works, science, and historical memorabilia that describes the human and environmental impact of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
Particles on the Wall.
May 3rd through June 14th. Second floor gallery in the Eco Trust building.
Particles on the Wall.
Co-sponsored by Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility and KBOO Community Radio.
Particles on the Wall.
Information can be found online at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
News, views, and hip hop.
This is SJM Yoshiro, old school graffiti writer, and when I'm not, I'm listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Mumia Long Distance Revolutionary, the critically acclaimed documentary directed by Stephen Vittoria, is packing houses from coast to coast. It opened last week in Los Angeles, becoming the number one documentary in box office sales in that city. The New York launch at Cinema Village was heralded in the press, sold out shows, and got an extended run. In fact, it was number 3 in the country for independently released films when it opened in New York. The theatrical release of Long Distance Revolutionary is growing. New cities are being added every day, from Miami to Seattle, and it's coming to Oakland. Long Distance Revolutionary opens at the New Parkway Theater this Friday, March 8th in Oakland. So with that said, let me welcome to the KPFA Airwaves director, writer, and producer, Stephen Vittoria. Again, welcome.
Thank you, Anita. Love to be here.
So basically, you know, Stephen, through this definitive and in-depth documentary, you have come to know the man Mumia Abu-Jamal, better than most or anyone else. What makes him so unique? What are the 3 key elements of his character?
Anita, it's been truly a journey getting to know Mumia the way that I know him and the way that the audience is starting to know him right now. You know, we knew him through his books and through his radio broadcasts and also through his life. But I think what Long Distance Revolutionary does is it goes really beneath the surface of this man's story, proving that the narrative on Mumia's life is so much more than December 9th, 1981, the night that he was arrested and then later convicted for the shooting of patrolman Daniel Faulkner. What I've learned most about Mumia is, first and foremost, he's completely uncompromising, which is an amazing thing for an activist and a revolutionary, especially under the harsh and draconian conditions that he creates his political work from. He's completely uncompromising. He doesn't give in to the state. He doesn't give in to the personal pressures that he has to deal with every day. And most importantly, he doesn't give in to the repression that he's forced to create the broadcasts and his essays and the books every day of his life. Second thing, to answer your question, is I don't know if I've met anyone who is more diligent than Mumia Abu-Jamal. In fact, right now I am writing a book with Mumia. We've decided to write the next book together. It's called Murder Incorporated, Empire, Genocide, and Manifest Destiny. And Mumia works harder than any other writer I have ever had the pleasure of working with, I have ever hired. He is an incredibly hard worker. In the film, Alice Walker has a great quote about this diligence and this commitment to what he does. And Alice says that, you know, she works incredibly hard, and she's never met anyone like Mumia who works as hard as she does. And that's coming from another, you know, great writer in the pantheon of American writers. So I think that's